Mind Gap Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to Mind Gap Podcast. I'm Doug.
And I'm Justin. And Doug, where was your most unforgettable vacation?
I'm so glad you asked this, Justin, because I've had this moment to really think about where I've gone, where I've been, things that I've done. And Macon, Missouri has to be the coolest place. Just kidding. That place is whatever. It's fine.
I was going to say, you have my attention. Now tell
me
more.
I'm listening. What's in Macon, Missouri? or Versailles, Missouri? I think it was shortly after college, my mom took Jill and I on a cruise, a European cruise. We started in Venice. We were there for a couple days, which was awesome. And then we left Venice. We went to Croatia. And then we went to Greece, which was super fun. Greece is like, I'm a huge like Greek history, Greek mythology, that pantheon of stuff. I absolutely love it. And shit's just really old there. Like it's aged in a way that as an American who's like, this is 200 years old, you're like, holy shit. And they're like, hey, this is this whole like little village area, it dates back to 1000 BC. I'm like, I'm sorry, what? How far back? They had baths back then? Like they had like, yeah, this is the area where they bathed, and it was like tile and shit like that. I'm like, what the fuck? You
that's
know,
wild, man.
It's crazy. Yeah. You're trying to wrap your head around something that's that old. It's just, really difficult.
There's a difference between hearing about it, learning about it, and then standing in it. And you're like, fuck, like I'm physically next to this thing that was 1000, like what the fuck?
Yeah. I mean, when I was in college, I did a trimester abroad, and we were in England, and we were looking at a wall, like it's that's still standing, that was from the year 1000 AD. And part of me was like, we drove all the way out here to look at this fucking wall? Like, whatever. But someone's like, yeah, this is from the year 1000. I'm like, that's pretty cool. Like, just to look at this thing, it's like, this is still here after 1,000 years. It is still standing. And you're like, oh, like, even then, look at buildings in England, you know? I'm like, this shit's old, man. Like, going to the Globe Theater, I'm like, this is the same place where Shakespeare debuted his summer blockbusters, you know? Like,
right.
Literally, we were groundlings standing in the pit watching Midsummer Night's Dream, like, for a play. Like, it was wild. And it's just understanding, like, the idea that this existed hundreds of years ago, it's just, it blows your mind. As Americans, we lack the idea of that amount of time just because our country is so new and we can't really look at anything that's really man-made that's really that astonishing.
Try to imagine anything that's built now lasting, you know, whatever, 1,000 years, lasting 500 years, let's 200 years. Like, it's just, it doesn't, I just feel like, we don't have, and I could be wrong, I don't fucking know anything from anything, but I just feel like we don't have the same kind of, like, that was just true craftsmanship, man. Like,
well, I think I've read some stuff that if there were to be some sort of zombie apocalypse sort of situation, you know, where society sort of fell down, that it would be detrimental to the environment, not because of the zombies, but because, like, for example, nuclear reactors, those have to be maintained. And if they are not maintained, they have nuclear fallouts and it just destroys everything around them. It's like, if you think about where those are, you're fucked.
You're right.
Like, you're not going to. And then also just buildings in general, they just, I mean, dark subjects, but you know, the Baltimore Bridge, I mean, to be fair, that bridge was not built to withstand a 900-foot ship crashing into it. Okay.
Fair point.
I don't think most bridges are, but like bridges in California were built to withstand earthquakes. With that in mind, they have sensors built into them, and even I think Golden Gate Bridge was built in the 30s and probably needs to get updated big time. But in general, like a lot of these things, like that bridge, I mean, the water's filled with minerals. It breaks down the material over time. It becomes weaker, and it's just they just don't, whatever. You look at skyscrapers and shit like that. The way that stuff is built, things are made now. Like the invention of concrete back in like Julius Caesar's time was huge because mm-hmm. it allowed them, instead of chipping away at rock, they could pour stuff and build it quicker.
Right.
But chipping something out of rock, it's more foundation. Listen to me. I'm not a fucking architect. I'm not a structural engineer, y'all.
Educate me, Doug. Yeah.
But I imagine if you chip something out of a standing rock, that's probably going to be a lot more just like, we're going to pour it into a frame and it's going to stay there probably for a while. But over time, the composition of that is going to break down. And unless you maintain it, it will fall apart over time. So all that to say that, yeah, I can't imagine the fucking Sears Tower existing for 500 years. Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, I mean, now they've got, what is it, the bioconcrete? It's the self-healing. They've got people developing self-healing concrete.
Smart.
Using bacteria or fungus or whatever it is. But, you know, like, okay, moving forward, maybe we're going to solve for that. But anything from like one point, like point A to point, you know, D, good luck.
Most of the shit that we've built, especially like from the 70s, it's not good. It was. No, it's not good now. Like
It's built for then. Or yes. It's built for, like, what we are building now is built for now.
Yeah.
And we're not thinking this will be a structure that our, you know, historians look back on our civilization.
50 years from now, we'll be like, God, this was built in the 2020s, man. We got to update this shit. You know, like, right. It doesn't have the self-healing biomes attached to it. You know, like, oh, God. Yeah. So anyway, Justin, what's one of the coolest places you've ever been?
I would say Arbeth's and my trip up to Alberta, Canada. The Lake Louise area, the Jasper area, that was all just, it was stunning. It was, I think when I got back, I think I described it to you as monotonously beautiful. Every single, like everywhere you turned, it was just more beautiful than the last place that you had looked. And it started to get to the point where you're just like, how much more beauty can there be? Like, it's just, it's everywhere up there. I've never seen a place that was so pristine or stunning.
I imagine that's the thing that's sad about that is if you were to live there, eventually you'd get used to how beautiful it is.
And absolutely.
That's a fucking fact. And that is a sad fact of life is that
it is,
we
yeah.
get complacent. And that's why when Natalie's been like, I wish we could live in Florida. I'm like, well, there's a lot of problems with that statement. But I understand what you're saying. Like she's like, I wish we could live in Disney World. I'm like, you say that, but it's one of those places where it took me a while to realize that, like, yeah, like at one point I'm like, I would love to work in Disney World. I was like, yeah, but back in my mind, I'm like, but would you? Would it become corrupt over time? Like this idea of this place that you think is magical, but then you work there and you deal with asshats to the point where like it ruins, like you can't step foot in there and enjoy it because you have to deal with fucking idiots all the time. So
And it would be all the time. And that's the thing. I'm sure the people, we were up there and we came across a group of elk. I don't know, a flock of elk, whatever they are.
Biggest assholes you're ever going to run across.
Coming across the road. And they were, we were just amazed because one of them was like challenging a car because like it didn't like, and we were, everyone was out of their cars taking pictures. I'm sure the locals are like, oh, goddamn elk back up again. Like it's not novel at some point, you know, it just becomes that, you know, ho-hum. It's just the doldrum of daily life that you're living. And it's like, oh God, you know, the water's freezing that, or the water is, the lake is thawing. That means that everyone is going to be visiting now. And you just get pissed about the tourists coming to your location.
Yeah. So, because also a space like that with wild animals, people are like, oh my, people are so dumb with animals in general. People are dumb with their own dogs, let alone animals that they don't know anything about. I saw a video of this couple. They were like, there was a moose or something, and they had their dog off leash that was like bouncing around this thing, like barking at it. And a local was driving by. They're like, hey, your dog's going to get killed here if you're not careful. They're like, what? It's no big deal. It's like, no, that thing will stomp the shit out of your dog. Like, you need to get it out of there right now. That is a huge fucking creature. It will annihilate your dog. Like, it's just a moose. It's like, you don't understand anything about this creature. So you should, first of all, have your dog on a leash. Second of all, get the fuck out of there. Do you love your dog? Then fucking protect it because that's not good.
This animal, there's no logic or reasoning with, hey, this is just a dog. It's not a threat to you. This animal just sees, well, this thing is being aggressive towards me. I better neutralize the threat.
That's the same person that's like, I could probably choke out a giraffe. And you're like, I'm sorry.
I could box a kangaroo.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. I could wrestle a wolf into submission. Okay. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. I've seen people wrestle alligators. Can't be that hard.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Just untested. Just like, right. You know.
You just got to cover their eyes.
Yeah.
And then they don't know where they is.
This is like anyone talking, like, you know, weighing in on anything expertise on the internet. They're like, well, I think you should just do this. What's your expertise in this? Zero. Okay. Right. Well, I'm going to file your opinion under nobody cares.
Right. You know, it's the same as like when someone says chipping away something is, you know, better than pouring loose concrete.
Look, I'm guessing. I'm giving it a shot. Don't know. And structural engineers out there, fucking light me up. If you know better, please prove me wrong. I'm guessing. All right.
Where can they come at you, Doug?
All of our social media is at MindGap Podcast. Hit up our Discord. Link is in the description. You know, head over to the general podcast discussion and be like, hey, Doug, you said this about structural engineering. I have some expertise to lend to that. That would be great. That would be great if you could do that. Leave us a comment right here on YouTube, youtube.com/MindGap Podcast. Like and subscribe while you're there if you feel so compelled. Which, by the way, I want to take a moment. Over the last 2 weeks, there was a surge of subscribers, and I just want to say thank you to everyone who has subscribed and anyone who just recently subscribed. Like, seriously, thank you. Like, we kind of go through these like bursts, and I'm always like, what the fuck? Like, within a matter of days, like, we just saw like 15 to 20 people subscribe to us. So thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you
genuinely
very much.
Thank you.
Yeah. Genuinely thank you. We're welcome. We're glad you're here. We love having new people as be part of the family. So thank you very much for that. Speaking of, I also host a video game live stream on Fridays at 8 p.m. Central. The last 2 weeks, Andy America was kind enough to stop by. If you're not sure who Andy is, he's a buddy of mine who steps in to help stream sometimes. And he was streaming Helldivers 2, which was a lot of fun. Noah was playing, and Wolf joined us last week as well. We were fighting some Terminators and killing some bugs and spreading democracy and liberty wherever we went. It was great. It was very, very fun. So we might be playing that again this week, or there was another game that Noah found that was free today that looks like it's a very unique game where it's called – what's it called? Stand by. I need to look this up again real quick because it was such a unique concept.
I'll say that last week I tuned in just for a brief minute, or 2 weeks ago I tuned in for just a brief minute, and I was very pleased as punch, as you might say, to see the shirtless wonder, Andy America, hosting the stream. It was very nice to see.
Andy America, he's a good dude, man.
He's a mensch.
Yeah, he really is. So it's this game called Content Warning. And the synopsis says, get famous or die trying. Content Warning is a co-op horror game where you film spooky stuff with your friends to try and go viral. Squat up, customize your face, buy some gear, and use the diving bell to go down to the old world. Down there, you'll encounter scary physics, animated monsters, curse relics, and other things. So, looks like an interesting thing. I think we'll give it a try. So, that might be this Friday's jam. So, anyway.
I like it.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm always looking to try out these new fun indie games. Even if it's just a one-off, it's always fun. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, baby!
Absolutely. All right, it's time to pay the corporate tax.
That's right. It's time to pay.
One of them old ad reads.
Are you sick and tired of your socks disappearing when you go to wash them? Well, desperate homemaker, worry not. We have just the thing. Introducing Find My Sock Phone. This tiny little fully functioning cell phone is just small enough for your sock. Get your socks addicted to the dopamine rush of TikTok or the rage bait of Reddit and Twitter. So when your socks get lost, all you have to do is engage the Find My Sock Phone app, which will ping your socks little phone. Each Find My Sock Phone is only $199, and when you buy two, you get the second one half off. Find My Sock Phone requires a service plan incompatible with AT&T. Ah, Justin. No. I have been so excited to talk to you about this because we talked about this movie a while back, and that was Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
Yes, we did.
Because that's when Winnie the Pooh went into the public domain, and the day that it like went into public domain, or shortly thereafter, they released, some film lovers got together and made a slasher film based on the concept of Winnie the Pooh being in... a horror film. Now, that movie was greatly panned by critics. Honestly, it looked like, and we talked about this when it came out, I was like, am I supposed to believe that that's really Winnie the Pooh? Or is it just a guy in a mask? Because it looks like a guy in the mask. And I understand horror films and new films, they're made on the cheap or whatever and stuff like that. But, you know, and people seem to really be capitalizing on the, hey, this thing's in public domain, let's make something scary out of it. Because most of the time that stuff was made for kids or whatever. And they're like, let's go in the complete opposite direction.
Also, from a financial standpoint, horror is one of the top selling genres. You can make a cheap horror film and have it go absolutely viral and make a shit ton of money way easier than the majority of other genres that are out there. We've seen it happen time and time again with Blair Witch and with Insidious and with, you know, like, you know, you just go down the list and name all these things that were made on the first one was made in the cheap studio system, picked it up, and then it started growing as a franchise from there. So it makes sense to give this a shot. You don't know, you know?
Yeah, and I'm not here to shit on anyone's ideas with this sort of stuff. The only thing I ever look for with things like this is I just want to see a good story told. Like
100%.
I want to see something interesting. I don't give a shit if it's made for $500 or whatever. Like, if you're telling a good, fun, interesting story, I'm all in, man. Like, yes. I don't care. But that first movie, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, got some of the worst reviews of 2023. But it got a bunch of publicity, and it generated a decent amount of money at the box office. So they just recently, the same filmmakers, released Blood and Honey 2.
I just saw this.
And so now, after this, which a friend of the pod, Jamie Jurak, actually was interviewing one of the creators of Blood and Honey 2, which was great.
Really? So, oh, amazing.
If Jamie Jurak works with comicbook.com, and she interviews all sorts of filmmakers and stuff, and she does like the pressers for upcoming stuff, and I saw her interviewing them. So they have the second movie, which I think came out March 26th, I believe.
That is correct.
So that just, you know, as of recording, that has already come out. And so apparently the filmmakers are planning their own universe of creepy versions of these characters. And they're calling it the Twisted Childhood Universe, but the unofficial name is known as the Pooniverse, as in Winnie the Pooniverse.
Yeah. Look, if you just said, hey, have you seen any of the films inside the Pooniverse? That could go one of two ways.
Yeah, it's very true.
You're gonna have to be a little bit more specific.
Right. And part of what they are planning to do is they're doing a dark version of Bambi. It's called Bambi the Reckoning. They're doing Peter Pan's Neverland Nightmare and Pinocchio Unstrung.
Here's the thing. I'll say this. Peter Pan...
The Neverland Nightmare?
Yes, Neverland Nightmare and Pinocchio Unstrung. Bambi the Reckoning, okay. Peter Pan, Neverland Nightmare, you could have some fun with that. And Pinocchio Unstrung is just a great title. Like, that's a cool title. I really, really like that.
And they said they also want to do some other creepy versions ranging from Sleepy Beauty to the Mad Hatter. So they have big ideas for the stuff. So while I'm not thrilled of another idea of a shared... And apparently, part of this is, like, all of these creatures are going to come together in... it's the Pooniverse, Monsters Assemble, in 2025. Which means that all of these films are going to be coming out before 2025. And, you know...
So, they're... Okay, so here's the thing. It's in a kind of an ironic twist, or a coincidental twist. The Pooniverse, which sounds like a porn film universe... These films are being made on the same production schedule as those films would be made as well.
Yeah.
That's kind of, that's
this
kind
is
of
like,
cool.
This is like phase three level, like schedule release, you know?
This
like,
is what, here's the thing. Unfortunately, this is what DC tried.
Yeah.
And they failed. So I'm hoping that the Pooniverse can capitalize on this.
Well, what I'll say is, and what I kind of want to put the question to you, is like, is there, because right now, this is like the rage. Like, the same thing with Steamboat Willie. There's a slasher film made with Steamboat Willie, which looks just like Winnie the Pooh, you know, Blood and Honey, where I'm like, that's not Steamboat Willie, that's a guy in a mask. And there's also a video game version of Steamboat Willie that looks like a horror thing as well. Is there a property that you would like to see get done in this fashion that you think would be really cool to tell like a story. I personally think Pinocchio is a really fertile area for some scary stuff, because if you think about what Pinocchio is,
absolutely,
Pinocchio is a wooden doll that's given life by a magical creature.
Yeah,
and a guy who desperately wants a child. He makes these puppets, and the blue fairy's like, here you go, here's life. And this life form has no idea what the world is around him. He doesn't understand right from wrong. So there's a cricket that is his conscience and tries to teach him what's right and wrong. Even the movie, the Disney movie by itself, it's kind of like, whoa, like there's a lot of shit going on. Like kids are smoking cigars and they're turning into donkeys and there's a giant fucking whale. And like, it's wild. It's a wild ass movie. But I've seen like a couple shorts. Like I saw like this was like, I don't know, a minute and a half animated video of this Pinocchio who's been turned to life, and he's like trying to eat Geppetto, and it's absolutely terrifying.
That's because awesome.
It's like the whole concept of always like, Father, I'm hungry. Why did you make me? It's absolutely terrifying. And Geppetto's like locking himself in his workshop, and he's breathing heavy. You just like see this Pinocchio monster. It's terrifying. And there was other like this animated voiceovers that were kind of funny, but they were also terrifying. And like Jiminy Cricket was like, hey, Pinocchio, you have to stop pointing at people. Like you can't point at disabled people and just like point. He's like, well, I didn't know what they were. He goes, you just stared at them and pointed. Like you can't do that. Like, you know, just it was funny, but then like there was other ones where eventually Pinocchio kills Jiminy Cricket, like because he doesn't. The idea of this sentient thing,
yes,
that doesn't know right from wrong, that all of a sudden doesn't have a conscience. It's, you know, sociopathic, psychopathic, whatever. Doesn't understand. Oh, when I break someone's arm, that's hurting something. Doesn't understand. That's terrifying.
And oh yeah,
especially if they go and experience the world. You know, like they get mistreated in a way and they certainly don't trust other people and then just do whatever it is that they do without any sort of conscience whatsoever. I think that's a fun concept to play with. Like that would be absolutely terrifying to go down that path and see what comes out the other end. I think that's really, really cool to explore that. So I would love to see an interesting thing. And yeah, sure. It could be slasher-esque to some degree, but I would love to explore that concept of almost an alien creature who's been given sentience that doesn't naturally have sentience, that's in an unnatural body, right? It's a wooden toy that is trying to understand its place in the world, doesn't like it, doesn't understand it, so lashes out, doesn't understand its emotions. That's fucking terrifying. Like,
yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely terrifying.
There's a I wish I could remember the name of it, or I wish I could remember like the plot a little bit better. But there was a short film that I saw a couple years ago about an AI robot.
Oh, we watched this at assignment desk.
Did we watch this? That ended up like it was kidnapping and performing surgeries on humans. And it wasn't being done with, and it was killing them, but it wasn't being done with malicious intent. It was being done because it didn't understand, like it was looking for the human's circuit board or to like, there was a misunderstanding, and it thought it was doing something good, and it couldn't understand why the humans kept dying. And it was, but again, that concept of like something that doesn't know what it is and what its surroundings are is fucking, it is a fucking terrifying. And it's a thing that has more power than you. That is a terrifying.
This short is called Abe.
How did you find it?
I just typed in robot horror short, and it's the first thing that popped up.
I did see. I did too much. I said short indie film of a robot performing surgery on humans.
Yeah, it's called Abe. You can find it on YouTube. It's by Rob McClellan, it is.
Yes, this is it.
Terrifying.
A self-aware robot seeks out love and meaning with horrifying results. Yep.
Yeah. So this is an entity that has a different moral code than other humans. And it doesn't understand. He thinks that like his insides are what makes him tick. So he's trying to cut open people to find where the love is. And it's horrifying concept as he does these sorts of things. He's like, where is the love? You know, like,
yeah,
but not like,
yeah,
where it's is the love? He's like, it's in here. You know, like.
But again, not being done like, I'm going to gut you and find the love. It's just like, where is the love?
It's a clinical approach to it, which is absolutely horrifying. Like,
yeah, man.
That is, yeah, because we can't relate to that. We don't understand it.
Right.
And if you try to empathize with that too, that thing also doesn't understand you or the humans or what makes them, you know, imagine something that sees the cruelty of humans, right? Mm-hmm. And is exposed to that and doesn't understand it, doesn't like it, and then just kind of goes off the deep end. I just recently rewatched Ex Machina, you know, similar thing of
one of my favorite. I love that film so much.
So fucking good. So and, good. You know, that movie, if you haven't seen it, A24 film. No dogs in it, so you're safe. Essentially, a young programmer goes to some very rich developer's like home for a couple days to do a Turing test on an AI that this guy has created, and it's a legit like AI.
And a humanoid body
and everything like that. And you're just trying to figure out, is this thing real? Like, how's it, like, what's it all about? And it's absolutely fascinating because
who's pulling the strings on who is really, right. Yeah.
And the idea of, you know, if you are able to create something that has a conscious self that doesn't necessarily need to sleep, eat, or whatever, but then you just lock it away.
Right.
Is that okay? Is it not technically human? Like, it asks a lot of great questions and explores a lot of that stuff. I would love to see that in a Pinocchio. Now, granted, I'm assuming that what these guys do will probably be more slasher oriented in that regard. But I loved taking those concepts and exploring it. You know,
yeah,
I agree. Peter Pan, a dark version of Peter Pan, like,
well, and that was going to be one of the ones that, to answer your question, was that I thought I think that one is going to be fucking incredible because you've got an island of children, lost children. And how fun would it be if, again, like if Wendy or maybe the parents make their way there to try to save Wendy, how fun would it be to make Captain Hook actually the good guy? And he's like, no, you don't understand. These kids are fucking nuts. Like,
yeah, because yeah,
I have been trying to get off this fucking island out of Never Neverland myself. These kids are insane.
Yeah. It's like, you know, Lord of the Flies kind of shit.
Yes, exactly.
Them. And they bolster their numbers by actually stealing kids, bringing them to Neverland. And they, over time, they brainwash them and they become part of the Lost Boys. And yeah, you see the pirates, like whoever it is, like goes to Neverland. You see pirates like brutally attacking these children. And you're like, these are the bad guys. And like you said, Captain Hook's like, look what they did to me.
Right.
This is... You don't understand. These kids are the bad ones. And over time, you realize just how depraved. Peter Pan is just some kid who's just went off the deep end and can fucking fly.
He's written a manifesto.
Right. Like, I'd never considered it. It'd be fun to go through some of like the classic stories like that. Go through the Disney catalog. And again, not just make it like, how can we turn this into a slasher? But like, how can you turn this on itself like in a dark way?
Right.
Like, I mean, I think of Aladdin, right?
Sure.
You meet the genie. Here's this happy-go-lucky guy. I think a dark twist on that would be the genie who's been trapped in this fucking lamp for eons has to hate people because he's always serving them. He's stuck in this thing. He has this immense power that he can't use without a master. He is a slave to whoever does this. And they're always like, I want a lot of money. I want power. And he has to grant him. Imagine if like somehow he finds a way to get out. Like, I don't know. Like his whole thing is like, he's manipulating people to get the upper hand or whatever, or just, you know, I don't know. Like, that would be a situation where that genie's not going to be happy to see someone. He's like, oh, great. Someone else has touched the lamp, and now I have to do your fucking bidding, you know? And they don't treat him well, and he's just doing all this sort of stuff. He doesn't understand humans, you know?
Imagine some of the horrific wishes that he's had to grant.
Yeah.
Right? Or not even just, like...
He tries to find ways around to, like, make almost like a monkey paw situation. Like, you wish for something and he turns it dark because he's tired of... He wants to see people suffer with it. And...
Yeah.
Yeah, like, just...
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
The other one that I thought, again, would be... And I don't know how you turn it on. I don't know how you, the only way I can conceive of it is horror. And someone actually cut a trailer, a fake trailer of this movie in the horror fashion was Mary Poppins.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Would be another one. This woman floats in, infiltrates this family, starts driving, like starts, am I seeing what I'm seeing? You know, like what, wait, is that, hold on. What are you giving them? Is that sugar? A spoonful of medicine? What is the medicine? Like it just gets into a dark. Yeah. You had them on rooftops. Like
they're dancing with animated penguins.
Right.
What's going on here?
Who's this chimney sweep you're bringing around?
Who's this fucking deadbeat? You know?
Yeah.
What the hell's going on here?
But yeah, like it could be a very Omen-y type, you know, horror property.
And this is, again, going back to that wonderful comic series Fables, or Fable, you know, they take some very adult looks at some of the classic things. Like Snow White was not a happy tale.
There you go.
Snow White was abducted by the dwarves and kidnapped and tortured in unsavory ways by these dwarves. Right. And in that story, she escapes and she goes back and she murders all of them, like, because it was some horrific shit. And it was one of those things where it's like, man, these dwarves were horribly murdered and no one knows what happened. You realize it was Snow White who went back and took justice into her own hands and things like that. So, you know, finding unique ways because that's interesting, right? That's an interesting take on it. It's like, oh yeah, everyone thinks this is just this great thing that these guys were helping me. She's like, they weren't.
Yeah,
they were not good. They were not good creatures and whatnot. I would love just to see some more creative ways to go about it. Again, hey, I'll power to these guys taking this into their own hands and giving it a try. It sounds like they're having fun doing it. So,
well, and that's the thing. Like it's. You know, it's in public domain. They're not hurting anyone. Like, it is what it is. Like, let them fucking rock and roll. The first one I just looked was made for $50,000.
Yeah.
It made $5.2 million in the box office. That's a tidy little profit.
Right.
Second one was made, it said 10 times as much, so $500,000. If it does this, it's trending higher on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. If it does the same as the first one, guess what? Still a nice little profit.
Like, it's a tiny little profit. Yeah. So look, fucking rock and roll. Like the more you freak people out like this and be like, what is this? Like you've got a viral marketing already. So don't like go nuts for donuts, I say.
Yeah. There's no hate here for me. I you know, I think 5-6 years ago, I probably would have hated on these guys.
Yeah.
Just being like, oh, what the fuck? But I'm like, hey, go have fun, man. Like,
am I going to endorse the movie or be like, this is a good movie? Probably not.
Am I going to watch it? Probably not.
Right.
You know?
But I'm not against the movie per se. No. Exactly. Yeah.
No, I appreciate this. I think what's already wearing thin on people is they're like, hey, here's this thing in public domain. It's like, guess what? There's a slasher version of
horror.
It.
Horror.
Like,
yeah.
That's people are like, God, can we do anything else other than...
Right.
I was like, listen, what's the other option? Do you want to go like sexual with it? Because I'd prefer we don't go that route. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Well, I mean, what about a period drama piece? Like, what about like making
with
it
Steamboat Willie?
Exactly.
Like, because honestly, that's the easiest way to go, right? What's the polar opposite of a child's tale? It's a horror.
Exactly.
You know, like, so it makes sense to wander down that road and see what comes out the other end. But
it's
again,
like finding
I would
complementary
love...
colors. What's on the opposite of the genre wheel? You know,
exactly. Yeah, you try to find it. So I just hope that there are I don't know. I'd love to see some people explore some of those things. I don't mind getting dark with that stuff. I love a creative take on something and finding a way to really just, you know, go wild with it. Like, I'm all for it. So
yeah,
let us know. Let us know what you think would be a spooky take on some of these properties, and what would you do if you had the ability to be creative with this? Let us know. Let us know in those comments.
I was looking at just the list of Disney stuff.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize they were behind Roger Rabbit.
Oh.
And I was like, that movie is bonkers
to begin
with.
Yeah, we watched that not that long ago with Natalie, and I was like,
yeah,
this is kind of like a serious noir film.
It's a weird tone that they toe in that movie. So again, like, what would the opposite of that be? Would you go horror and just make it even more of a, because the guy's face melts off.
Well, not only that, it's like, it's implied that there's like sexual relations with toons, you know, but
this
they're playing
like,
patty cake. Right. They're literally just playing patty cake, but like, you know, Jessica Rabbit's like moaning as if she's like getting it on. This was a PG movie. You know what I mean?
I know, like, man. He's dipping. Yeah, he's dipping characters in acid and talk about a horrific death. Like,
Jesus, not only that, it's like there's like things like there's a will that contractually obligates who can build a highway. I'm like, what are we doing? This is like Trade Federation shit in like Episode One of Star Wars. You know what I mean? Like, and I appreciate it. I appreciate it because it's like a true noir, right? You got this down and out detective who's trying to figure out what's going on. His brother was killed by a toon, so he hates toons. And there's a great arc with him and what he's trying to do. But they're like, man, this tram company just got bought up and they're putting people out of business because this guy's buying up all the real estate. And I'm like, really? Is that what we're
doing? Who's the target audience? You're expecting children to understand the concepts, the nuanced concepts.
Yeah. You got a fucking like cartoon rabbit that's holding pulling guns on people. You know, it's like, please, don't move, stick him up. You know, you got a fucking baby that's smoking a cigar that talks with a New York accent. You know,
is it Danny DeVito?
I don't think that was Danny DeVito. I could be wrong. I don't know. But it was like, you know, it was all sorts of stuff. It was wild, man. That was a wild movie. I remember watching that with Natalie. I'm like, man, I don't know. Like, it's crazy. You know, it's a crazy film. So, yeah, that was, we just go super noir with it. You
know? Right?
Just wild shit, man. Absolute wild shit.
I'm dying to know who was the baby? Oh, was it Bob Hoskins? No, he was the detective.
Bob Hoskins was the detective.
The actual, yeah. We'll have to come back to this. I don't know. I won't be able to find it now, but yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, look, if you know, let us know on Discord.
Yeah. Let's send us a message and let us
know. Or in the comments. Yeah.
Yeah. Or in the fucking comments. Let us know.
Tell us how dumb we are that we can't figure this out.
Tell us how fucking stupid we are. Speaking of noir, real quick, I watched another A24 movie recently called Under the Silver Lake. Have you watched that?
Under the Silver Lake?
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Weird movie. One of the many movies I watched.
That doesn't surprise me.
On my spring break. It was what I've enjoyed about going on this A24 run is just like, I just look at like the cover art for the film. I'm like, let's give this a try. And I did it. And I'm like, oh, what do you know? Andrew Garfield is the lead in this movie. Cool. Didn't know that. Like,
yeah.
Like, cool. Interesting. And it's like a neo-noir film. Topher Grace is in it for a little bit. It was so compelling. Like, I stayed up late to finish it.
Okay.
But it definitely had one of those endings where I'm like, all right, I need someone to explain this to me because I feel like I missed the point of it.
Have to join you on this journey. I know they have that section on Max right now that you're using as a collection. I gotta jump in because I love A24 and I want to talk to you about all these films.
Man, I'm talking about it now because I don't know if it's one I'd recommend.
Okay,
I think it's an enjoyable experience, but as far as like. What the hell is going on with all this? It was definitely like after I read the explanation for it, I'm like, okay, all right, I'm here for
you. I think I'm there.
I'm like, because it basically the rough plot of this is Andrew Garfield kind of plays this like piece of this is Practical Doug for you, like, so he's like a down and out actor. And right away, you learn that like he has 5 days to pay his rent or he's going to get evicted. And as the movie's going on, I'm sitting there being like, how many days is left? Because he's not making any progress. Like, he's going out to bars. He's spending money at bars. Like, he's buying food. He's got like a car. And like, I'm sitting there being like, dude, what are you doing with all this? Like, your rent's due. And I'm getting super fucking stressed out. I'm like, is he going to be able to pay his rent? Like, what's going here? Like,
forget whatever the plot of the movie is. You're like, that's what's stressing you out is he going to, won't he be able to pay his rent?
I'm sitting like, dude, you can't go out to the bar and buy drinks. You got to pay your fucking rent, man. Like, this is no joke. Like, I was getting super stressed out, but he's kind of a deadbeat and he's kind of a creep. But he meets this woman in his apartment complex and just like kind of falls for her. And they have sort of like a seductive encounter, like nothing like too salacious or whatever, but they're kind of like hanging out and then they kind of get interrupted. She's like, come by to hang out with me tomorrow. And he's like, okay. And then he comes back the next day and like all the stuff's moved out of the apartment. And he basically tries to track down this girl. Like he's just trying to find out where she is. And it turns into this sort of like mystery. Mm. And it's interesting. It's very interesting, very compelling. There's a lot of threads. It's one of those things where you're like, God, I hope this pays off, you know, because we're going down some weird spots, you know. That's right. always my thing when I'm watching something that has a compelling story, but it's like there's a mystery. And this mystery, I call it the Lost syndrome. Like Lost really strung you along, and it's like one of the rules of improv is like don't string the audience along, just say what's in the box. The idea being like if you have a box, right. And you're like, hey, guys, I got this box. Fucking open up the box and let everyone know what's in it. Because the more you talk about what's in the box, everyone's like, what's in the fucking box?
Right.
And then people are trying to figure out what's in there, what's going on. And then when you tell them what's in the box, it's not going to meet their expectations.
Ever.
And now the whole scene's been about what's in this box. And it's like, what's the payoff? It's not worth it. So it's the same thing with Lost where I'm like, we had fucking 6 seasons. Of like, what's going on with this fucking island, man? And you get to it and you're like, I don't know. Was it worth it? No. don't think so. So like whenever you kind of I get movies like that. I also just recently watched The Three Body Problem on Netflix.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I have thoughts. I have questions.
Did
more
you watch
than
it?
Anything. Okay.
What's your question?
What is The Three Body Problem?
It's a show on Netflix, and it's an interesting show. Again, I don't know if it's one I'd recommend because it's after the first episode, it goes this season on Three Body Problem. Like, oh fuck, they're not going to resolve this.
Wait, it did
this.
Like a teaser?
Yeah, it's like this season. I was like, oh, so we're not gonna figure out what's
That's
going
like
on here.
Old
are we?
Network shit.
I was like, oh shit. And the funniest thing about that was, I had watched. Like most of like an episode, and I was like, oh, I'll finish this up in the morning, like while I'm stretching, and then I'll go on to the next episode. And there was like 7 minutes left of the episode, you know, 3 or 4 of it was the episode that goes to credits, and like that was the end of the season, and I didn't even know it. So like I really just should have sat down and spent 5 minutes finishing it out and been like, oh, that was it. So I'm like all excited. I get ready to stretch, and I'm watching it. It's like, all right, what's the next episode? And I'm like, why is the next episode not coming up? I'm like, fuck. I just should have finished this last night. It was 5 minutes. God damn it. Essentially, it's a sci-fi movie about scientists that start seeing weird shit in the world. And they can't explain it. And they're trying to figure out what the hell's going on. I did enjoy it because it took some turns I didn't expect. And you do figure out what's quote unquote going on. And it seems like a lot of what will be coming is like, what do they do about it? Which I thought was an interesting turn. They didn't string you along forever. Like what's going on? About halfway through you figure out, oh, this is what this is.
Okay.
And at one point the Fermi paradox is mentioned and I was like, oh, Justin, I love the Fermi paradox. We've talked about that a lot. And, I don't know. I think it might, I don't know if I would throw it up in our recommendation section, but, I don't know. I wouldn't say, I'd say it's
fully in.
It's 8 episodes. It's 8 episodes, so it's not a huge commitment. So just know that it's a season 1 of who knows how many. So
yeah, do you like be cautious because do you want to get it? But with Netflix, who knows? Mid season 2, they may just be like, we're done.
Yeah, that's also the point. So I'm like, you know, whatever, do what you're gonna do. So
Anyway,
meh. So fun little things I've been watching. Pew 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 pew. But. I'm so excited for what we're going to wrap up with here.
Yeah, me too.
Justin and I love this new thing that we're doing, which is playing a game at the end of the show. And we're coming up with new things all the time. Sometimes we go back to some stuff that we just enjoy, like the AI stuff is always fun. This week, Justin made a great suggestion of basically we are going to describe the plot of a movie in 5 words or less. And the other person is going to have to guess what that movie is based on that limited information. Now, the challenge for us writing this is to give enough information so you can have a good guess, but not give away too much so you like know exactly what it is.
Right. Like so, when I was talking with Doug earlier, I was like, hey, like if you're describing Lord of the Rings, are you using the word Hobbit? Because that would give it away.
Because hobbits only exist in the Lord of the Rings universe. Now, if you're trying to label like one of those particular fucking movies, you know, then that could be a challenge. But you know it's Lord of the Rings.
Right.
To some degree. So, so I have six because I wasn't sure how quick this will go. But so we can kind of start with this. Do you want to start or do you want me to start?
Let's let you kick it off. I have four. I was going to do five, but then I'm like, well, I said two or three originally.
Yeah. All right.
But yeah, I was like, so we'll go somewhere in between.
Okay. So my first one, man in hat punches Nazis.
I love it already. Man in hat punches Nazis.
I tested these all on Jill, by the way.
Did she get them all? Well.
No.
She did not do it very well.
She did not do it very
man
well.
Man in hat punched. Indiana Jones.
Yeah!
Yes!
Bam, 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 bam! None in particular. It's just he's just punching Nazis
it's
in most
just,
of them.
It's a dude who punches Nazis and he wears a hat.
Yeah. I was like, if I say man with whip punches Nazis, that's too much. But I'm like, man in hat. You know?
Because now you got to go through all the Nazis. Like with a whip, you're like, I know what that is. But a lot of people wear hats.
Yeah. But this is distinguished hat, you know, it's like it's particular. You see that hat, you're like, that's Indiana Jones, you know?
That was a good mix.
Yeah.
That was a good blend of words. Well done.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, hit me.
I'm gonna start off with what I believe is the easiest one, and we'll get progressively harder. So and again, these were five words or less. So gorilla destroys city with rock.
I want to say it, but I don't want to say it. I want to say it, but I don't want to say it. Is this Rampage?
Because you know it now.
I was like, the rock. With rock. I was like, because I was thinking of the literal rock. I'm like, he's destroyed with the rock.
And that's why I chose it that way. This one went through about 10 different iterations, and I was like, I need it to be just to a point where he might think it's something else.
I was like, it's not King Kong.
Nope.
I was like, this has got to be Rampage. It's got to be Rampage. All right, that was a good one. That was a good one. All right.
The first one was Muscle Man and Angry Gorilla.
Like I probably still would have gotten there because I'm like, I fucking know what you tried to do here. But I like that. That was a really good one. That was really, really good. All right, here we go.
All right, go ahead.
Insomniac fights through his issues.
Ooh. Insomniac fights through his issues. Okay. So it's a person who can't fall asleep and he's troubled. He fights through his issues. Insomniac fights through his issues. Oh boy, this is a tough one. Okay. Insomniac fights through his issues. The Dark Knight. Batman.
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Is it the character of Batman?
No.
Okay.
I desperately want to do
like,
a Batman.
So many different.
I'll tell you, there's no Batman in any of these, but I was like, it's too easy. I was like, I'll be like, rich man does this. I was like, clown. I was like, there's no way. There's no way I could do it and not have you easily get it. So it's a good guess.
Okay. Insomniac fights. Okay, so who else doesn't sleep at night? Who else doesn't sleep? Insomniac fights through issues. Fuck. This is a.
You know, there's people listening or watching that are being like, I know what it is.
Oh, they're screaming right now, going, And again, like we've said on other games, it's not easy when you're under pressure.
Yeah.
So fuck off.
And if you know what these are, put them in there.
Put them in there.
Put them in the comments.
Fuck. Okay. You're going to say it. I'm going to get really pissed.
Yeah, you are.
Insomniac fights through issues. I give up.
Fight Club.
Oh, man. Oh, it's such a good one. Yes. Fuck.
I specifically want to put the word fight in there.
Oh,
so
yes.
That, like, you know.
Man, nicely done.
Thank
well
you.
Done on that one.
Thank you.
You get a round of applause. Thank That's a
you.
Good one. Yeah.
I know, because I said to Jill, she goes, there's a movie called Insomnia, isn't there? I'm like, yeah, it's not that one. Like,
Whew, good job. Because I was going real, like, yeah, like, this is that Robin Williams film, Insomniac. Mm-hmm. There's the fucking... Anyway, Immigrant reconnects with omnicidal daughter.
With what?
Omnicidal daughter.
Omnicidal. I have to look up that word. Omnicidal.
I'm hoping the Google search doesn't bring up the...
I'm just going to look up omnicidal. Omnicide. Merriam-Webster won't spoil it. Destruction of all life or human life? Is that what you meant?
Immigrant. I did a dictionary search on this. Immigrant reconnects with omnicidal daughter.
Oh boy, I don't think I'm going to get this one. Omnicidal daughter. Who's a girl that's trying to destroy all life? Omnicidal daughter.
And again, this is one where you're just like, yep.
Yeah, the immigrant part is probably a good clue. Immigrant. Oh, shit.
And I know you've seen this.
I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure I have.
I went deep back into our recommendations to make sure that all the ones that I've said you've seen.
Wow, this sounds, I love this, and I love that I don't know what it is. Can you say immigrant? I was like, Godfather, damn. Because the omnicidal daughter. That's the omnicidal part is like killing me because.
No pun intended.
Yeah, right? Because it's killing everybody. destruction of all life. Omnicidal daughter. What woman in film is trying to destroy all life? Fuck me. I don't even know if I have any guesses.
If I'd swapped out the word omnicidal for nihilistic, would that help at all?
Nihilistic daughter doesn't help much either. Just doesn't give a shit about
life. I went back and forth about the two because, yeah.
Immigrant. Immigrant connects with nihilistic or omnicidal daughter. Fuck, man. I don't know. I'd give up.
Everything, everywhere, all at once.
Ah, yeah. That's a good one. That's a really good one. Definitely was not on my radar.
Right, yeah.
Not even close. Could not. Some of the thing that sucks about this is like my brain gets stuck on one thing and it just won't go away.
Absolutely. That's,
I was like,
yeah.
What other things are related to Godfather? I'm like, it doesn't have to, it's not Godfather. It's like, yeah, but no, immigrant. Yeah. That's the first thing I thought of. It's like,
well,
okay.
It's funny because when you did the previous one, the one that you did, I said the Batman, but then I was like, okay, well, who else fights crime at night? I'm like, the Shadow, Darkwing Duck. And I'm like, right. Stop listing people who fight.
Right.
Stop
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
What do you got?
Okay. I'm trying to decide which one I have one I want to do. I definitely want to do this one. So I'm going to say it. New pet hugs your face.
Is it Alien?
It is Alien. Yes.
New pet hugs your face. That's a good one. I was like, listen,
it's probably going to give it away, yeah. But I like it. It's fun. It was right. A fun one. Yeah.
Well, I'll wrap mine up then on this one, which again, I said we're going from easy to hard, but I feel like that... I feel like that last one I gave you was really hard. This one, I we'll see.
We'll find out.
Because you don't,
right?
You don't know. You like never the hugging know. Face gave yeah. it right away. But right. Yeah. All right. So again, I spent some time in the dictionary. Nonagenarian fights his best friend.
Nonagenarian. Being from 90 to 99 years old. Is this Star Wars?
It is not. Have you heard the term octogenarian? That's someone in their 80s? Yeah. So for someone in their 90s is nonagenarian.
Nonagenarian fights their best friend?
Fights
his best friend. Could his best friend be his dog?
And he hugs his face.
And it hugs his face.
Yeah. It's an A24 film.
Nonagenarian fights his best friend. I was like, Obi-Wan Kenobi fighting Darth Vader.
Again, now you're stuck on the Star Wars track and you can't let go of it. Yeah.
90-year-old.
I really thought you would get this one.
Fights his best friend. Thanks for...
You'll understand.
No, I know I will, but now that I feel like I'm not going to get it, I'm like, great. Great. Fights his best friend. 90-year-old guy fights his best friend. My first thought was like, it's got to be a Clint Eastwood movie. Right?
It's not a bad guess.
He's an old guy. I was like, I haven't seen Gran Torino, but I don't think that's...
Does he got a friend in there?
I don't know. I don't know if he likes the Koreans too much in that movie. Or the Koreans? I don't know. I'm assuming.
It's anyone.
It's anyone.
It doesn't like anyone.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah.
Fuck. What other 90-year-old? This is like, what's the one with like Jack Lemmon? He's like what is
grumpy
it?
Old man.
Grumpy old man. Is it grumpy old man?
I had the thought. I'm like, that could be. It's so funny that we both went there, but it's not that one.
I have no idea what this is.
Captain America: The Winter Soldier.
Oh, well done. Well done. That's so good. That's so good. All right. I want to do two more for you.
You want to do? All right. Well, then I'll give you one more too. But okay. Go ahead.
All right. Because I'm very happy with these. I don't know when we'll come back to this. All right. good pilot destroys enemy base.
Star Wars: New Hope. Mm-mm. Good. Oh wait. Top Gun: Maverick.
There it is.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I'm like, who
they're
else
the
is a
same
good
movie.
It's the
it's
same,
the same movie.
Film.
Spoiler alert. it's funny because I did that one to Jill. She hasn't seen Top Gun Maverick. She goes, "Is that Star Wars?" I go, "That's what I want you to think."
Exactly. It's a great, very solidified misdirect.
Right.
All right. Here we go. Passive man terrorizes sleeping people.
It's not a movie, but Sandman.
Is this a haiku?
What? Passive man terrorizes sleeping people. I feel like I should know this one. Passive man. It's not Nightmare on Elm Street because he's not a passive guy.
Nope.
Terrorizes.
A lot of this.
The Nick Cage one. Fucking forget what it's called. It's Dream Scenario.
You got it. Yeah, Dream Scenario. Exactly.
Nice.
Yep.
Good job. I was like, oh, this seems too familiar.
I haven't seen that one yet, but I again, looking through the recent, you know, I was like, oh, he said Dream Scenario. And so I had to piece it together through the write-up about it. But yeah.
I love it. All right. Last one here.
Here we go.
This is the only one Jill got. Spaniard seeks revenge in sand.
No Country for Old Men?
Nope.
Spaniard seeks revenge in sand.
The way you said in sand.
In sand.
In sand.
The Spaniard seeks revenge in sand.
It sounds like a really bad vocal warm-up. The Spaniard seeks revenge in sand.
Revenge in sand. Desperado? Oh, man. That's the thing with five words, every word counts. And that's the thing. Yes. So, like, you've got to, like, dissect. You've got so few words to do this in.
Yeah,
you've got to dissect it. Yeah.
Because I also, it's like, you have to give them enough to head them in the right direction, but not give it away.
Right. So, okay.
Give you a hint. This movie won an Oscar.
Seeks revenge in sand. So I feel like there is a movie where they refer to the Spaniard, right? Like that's almost, is that?
He's on, okay. He's on to something. He's on to something, ladies
I
and gentlemen.
That was No Country for Old Men. Damn. Who's the Spaniard? Seeks revenge in sand. So it's desert. Someone's on a beach. Desert. Okay, so someone in the desert, Spaniard in the desert, seeking revenge. Man, there's so many revenge films.
There are.
What's John Wick?
John Wick, final answer. All of them.
All of the John Wicks, yeah. It's going to be one of those where I'm going to be pissed. What is it?
Gladiator.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Kudos to Jill.
Yeah.
Kudos to Jill. Spaniard threw it. Yeah, it threw it off for me. I don't know why.
Yeah, I know. Well,
my brain would not make that connection, you know?
Because I was going to say Spaniard seeks revenge in arena, and I feel like that would have given it away, you know?
Man.
So, you know, it was like, that was fun, man.
Well
that
done.
Was fun.
That was cool.
Us know what you all think. If you know, let us know which ones you got and which ones you didn't. And I want to do that again. That was so much fun to make these, write these, and I don't know. That was good. So well done, sir. Well done. All right, Justin, what do you got to recommend this week?
Well, in the spirit of what we were talking about earlier about Pinocchio and the AI and everything, I'm going to recommend The Creator. Came out last year, nominated for some Oscar. I don't remember which one, but starring John David Washington, Ken Watanabe, Gemma Chan, a bunch of the actors, Allison Janney, actors and actresses in this were phenomenal. But basically, it's a war breaks out between humans create AI that becomes the thing that we fear. It's that self-aware, and it helps us. And then there is an attack on Los Angeles, a nuclear attack, and millions of humans die. And the AI gets blamed, and then a war breaks out between humans and AI. And John David Washington's character is hired to go in and take down this AI known as the Creator. And it's the AI that is spawning all of these other AIs. Craziness ensues. But it deals with a lot of really interesting issues that potentially we might have to look at in the future. Like, do AI have rights and feelings? And can they fall in love? And is it wrong to just turn them off or kill them? Like, are they robots, or have they surpassed that? And it's just in the world that they set up, it makes it very gray. It's a very gray area. And I watched it, I think I was coming back from San Diego when I was out there with Drew, and I watched it on the plane, and I'm like, I need to watch this on a larger screen. This deserves a larger screen, because it's a good story, great acting, and the CG on it was really fucking good. I really enjoyed it. So, yeah.
Directed by Gareth Edwards as well. I like him as a director.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's directed things such as Rogue One, Godzilla,
first Godzilla,
and Monsters are probably the ones most known for. Very cool. What is
that? I don't remember Monsters.
Continent. I haven't seen it, but I definitely, it was on my list to watch at some point in time. It looked very interesting.
Interesting. Okay. So, yeah. Well, anyways, yes. Strong recommend. And yeah, if you like,
of course, it's streaming on fucking Hulu. Fucking Hulu.
I wish I could give you. Well, you wouldn't do it anyway. You're opposed to that.
Yeah. I'm lawful good. So you know what you want from me.
Doug, what do you got?
I'm gonna recommend an A24 film. Spoiler alert: the dog does die in this. not super graphically or whatever, but it happens. It's a A24 film called Skin. I just was like, hey, let's watch this. Had no idea until the end of the movie that it was based on a real life thing. And essentially, it's a kind of a guy that's down on his luck or whatever. He's part of a group of racist skinheads and white supremacists, and he decides to try and leave. He finds someone that he loves. He's got like ridiculous tattoos all over his face, like in all over his body and stuff like that. And it's just a story of him trying to leave that life behind and him trying to have a quote unquote normal life. And I don't know. I found it really impactful. It was really, really cool. The lead in it is Jamie Bell. I think he's for a second. He looks very similar to me to Tom Holland. So I was like, okay. Tom Holland's in this, but it's actually Jamie Bell. And Jamie Bell is like fantastic. Like he does such a good job in this. I love it when like UK people play like an incredibly good, just American, like not only that, but like, you know, it was really, really good. So great film, it can be heavy at times, but like a great story, and I highly recommend it. So you can watch that on Max. I know.
Jamie Bell absolutely looks like.
Yeah.
I could see that. Yeah. You'd be like, what? Cool.
Yeah. And this is like his head shaved because he's a skinhead and stuff. I'm like, that's fucking Tom Holland. I didn't know he did this. And I'm like, oh, it's not him. Okay. Never mind. But still, great, great film. Highly recommend it. You should check it out. Thank you all for watching and listening this week. As always, check us out. YouTube.com/MindGapPodcast. Like and subscribe. Thank you to everyone who has subscribed and who has continued to subscribe. We fucking love you. Thank you for all the support. We appreciate you. Check the link in the description for a link to our Discord. Be part of our Discord family. Check the links for our Patreon, for our merch, all that good stuff. And be sure to follow us on all our social medias at MindGapPodcast. And check out my video game live stream on Fridays at 8 p.m. Central. And check out Justin online as well.
On Instagram, you can follow me at Justin_Michael, spelled M-I-K-E-L. It's the fun way of spelling it. And while you're in the online realm, check us out on any platform where you can find podcasts. You will be able to find us. Like, subscribe, share, rate, review, all the things we ask you to do every week. But the big one, they're all big, but the biggest one is sharing. Let people know that we exist. Let people know that you listen to a wonderful podcast hosted by two stately gentlemen. And that they should listen to. That goes a long way. Also, Tuesday 8th on Instagram, TuiEast8th.com. Love and Improv Film on Instagram, loveandimprovfilm.com.
Awesome. With that, I will say, Justin, thank you.
Douglas, thank you.
Listeners, viewers, thank you. And you all have a dandy fucking week.